Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at FactorMeals.com/Listen50 and use code Listen50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. FactorMeals.com/Listen50. Code Listen50.
Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We do this segment every Monday and Friday on the show. It's called Onside Offside, so let's get to it right now on a very busy Monday right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, Stupac, what do we got cooking today?
Alright, Zach, so the Steelers, they are still waiting on Aaron Rodgers, but it turns out whoever the quarterback is in Pittsburgh will have two stars to throw to. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, George Pickens appears to be staying in Pittsburgh.
George Pickens, trade talks or any sort of buzz around that has cooled. There was a little bit of smoke out of the draft, but I was told that Pickens, in the end, wants to be in Pittsburgh. Sort of flirted with a trade request, but in the end, loves Mike Tomlin, wants to be a part of things. And from the Steelers' perspective, they want to keep all their arsenal intact because of the quarterback situation. They want to look attractive with the wide receivers.
So on such offsides, you're confident that Mike Tomlin will be able to get George Pickens in line?
I don't think it will get to a point where it could be like with other wide receivers because of Mike Tomlin. And right, look how many things that Mike Tomlin was able to keep in-house with Antonio Brown, and who knows what actually happened there. But judging by the way Antonio Brown acts, Mike Tomlin did a glorious job with him. And I don't think George Pickens is as detrimental as Antonio Brown. Now, he's not as good of a player as Antonio Brown was for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think George Pickens is an ass, if I'm just being honest. I think he's a pain in the ass. I think the way he views himself is not accurately the way that he plays on the field. Right now, he shows times where he could be a number one, but there's more games where he's a number two. I would say he's an in-betweener guy, 1.5. And you just paid an enormous amount of money for DK Metcalf, and now there's a year left on his contract, and this is the final year of his contract. So do I think George Pickens is going to be the model citizen in Pittsburgh in terms of, in a football standpoint, not talking off the field, I'm talking on the field, is he going to get jealous of DK Metcalf? Is there going to be games where Pittsburgh are winning and he doesn't have his best day and then he's freaking out? Absolutely. Because that's what he does. He's done it every time he's been in the NFL since he got there in 2022. He has been a distraction, and his moods just swing so crazily to where if you get the ball, all is good. You could be losing. But if you don't get the ball and your team's winning, then he turns out to be a pain in the ass. So do I think Mike Tomlin's going to be able to keep George Pickens in line where this will never be an issue? Even for a coach like Mike Tomlin, I'm going to say offside here because this is a George Pickens issue, not a Mike Tomlin issue.
Offside.
Now, Fowler also did report that the Dolphins are still looking to trade Jalen Ramsey after a deal didn't materialize during the draft because of the money that Ramsey is owed. Fowler said, quote, LA Rams, it could be a reunion. They've been in the mix here. Huh. They are a team to watch, end of quote. Onside, all sides, the Rams would be the best fit for Ramsey.
Now, he's not the same player as he once was. He's still a good player, but the familiarity there, I would say that, yeah, it would make him the best fit. And the Rams are pretty good up front. You look at that defense, it's really good. Could you maybe use an extra piece? I'd be fine if the Rams ended up getting Jalen Ramsey back. I don't know if I'm another contender, if I'm really dying to bring Jalen Ramsey in, but because they know one another, yeah, I do think that makes it the best fit for Ramsey and also a pretty damn good fit for the LA Rams as well. So I'll go on sides there.
Quinn Ewers was a five-star recruit out of high school, and he took Texas to two playoff.
By the way, I know you have to read the question. I'm just going to preface it before you read the question. This is one of the dumbest storylines. I was going through onside, offside, and I read this. And not every day do I read the questions, but I read the question before I went on air today. I go, all right, let me just be extra prepared today because I'm operating on no sleep. I when I read this one, I said, this could be one of the dumbest questions I've ever been asked. Now I sound like Calhoun at the podium all those years ago with UConn. But go ahead. Ask me this dumb question.
So yours took Texas to two playoff appearances as a starter. However, he was the last quarterback drafted going to the Dolphins in the seventh round. Now his agent, Ron Slavin, is calling out teams saying, quote, they thought he was too big of a name to be a clipboard holder.
Oh, my God.
Which I think is chicken bleep, end of quote.
I think that quote is chicken bleep, if I'm going to be honest.
Onsides, offsides, Ewers will be a distraction in Miami if he's the backup.
Too big of a name? Is he kidding me? For the last 2 years, and Quinn Ewers was a very good player. Big 12 champion. First year in the SEC. Takes Texas to the SEC championship game. He was wonderful for Texas. But what do we all sit here and do? Oh, when are we going to see Arch Manning full time? We want Arch. We want Arch. We want Arch. No one actually gave the proper due to Quinn Ewers. With that being said, I've said this now for the last 2 years. I think he's more of a college quarterback than a pro quarterback, and he's a backup in the NFL. And it's not like there's these sycophants. Like, Quinn Ewers does not have a Tim Tebow following. Quinn Ewers does not have a Johnny Manziel following, for crying out loud. Tim Tebow doesn't have a Shador Sanders type following. Should be Quinn Ewers doesn't. It's like, what are we doing here? You're a backup quarterback. And I understand in Miami, right, if Tua gets hurt, I think Quinn Ewers could be competent. He got enough around him. I think he's a solid quarterback. But this idea that he's going to be a distraction in Miami, he's lucky to even get drafted. And I don't think he fell in the draft because teams were like, oh, he's too big of a distraction. A distraction of what? Guy's an awesome teammate. Guy's someone is easy to root for. And he really comes with no fanfare. Quinn Ewers, in terms of the national landscape in the NFL, is like a nothing burger right now. It's a big fat zero. No one's sitting there saying, oh, outside of, oh, who was the guy last week? Oh, I forget the quote. It was about Quinn Ewers. Oh, it was Dez Bryant. Remember when Dez Bryant's like, oh, he's going to be Dan Marino. He's going to be better than Dan Marino. Tua's job is on the high. The only one saying that is Dez Bryant. No one else actually thinks that. Quinn Ewers' own family doesn't think he's going to be the next Dan Marino. What the heck are we doing? Ewers will be a distraction in Miami if he's the backup. He should be the backup. That's what he is. A distraction like he's Tim Tebow or Shador Sanders or Johnny Manziel? Oh, my God. That doesn't fit any narrative. That agent. Chicken bleep? You're chicken bleep. This quote is chicken bleep. Keep it moving. Offside.
Offside.
Distraction. Distraction. We're sitting here. We're talking about distractions? Huh? You kidding me? Distraction? What distraction? That's a big zero of a question. But continue. Go ahead.
After Lawrence Taylor declined to give Abdul Carter his number, Giants great and friend of the show Phil Simms agreed to unretire his number 11 so that Carter could wear his college number. However, apparently Simms' family stopped him and now say that he will not unretire the number. And Carter responded, quote, damn, at this point, I'm going to be out here. Just the last name, no jersey number.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. This is starting to annoy me. I know I said I wasn't going to get annoyed last segment, but just pick a freaking number for crying out loud, Abdul Carter. That's not like revered in Giants, history.
It's got 99 choices. Yeah. Onsides, offsides, you're okay with Simms changing his mind.
And two numbers are a problem, obviously, there. And you can't do 56, you can't do 11. I think this is more so knowing Phil, and I have not talked to Phil about this. I think Phil just said, who gives a crap? And then his family's like, you know, Phil, keep your number. And he's like, all right, I'll just do whatever my family says. So I'm okay with Simms changing his mind. yeah, I'm okay with it. Because the number's retired. So if he doesn't want to unretire it, or his family doesn't want him to unretire it, you don't have to do it. So yeah, I'm okay with that. On sides.
Speaking of famous number 11s, Patriots star Julian Edelman won a fan vote and will become the 37th player to be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, beating out kicker Adam Vinatieri and offensive lineman Logan Mankins. Onsides, offsides, Edelman making the Hall of Fame before Vinatieri is inexcusable.
1,000%. I know Julian Edelman won a Super Bowl MVP. Julian Edelman is a fan favorite. And then Adam Vinatieri had an ugly ending with the Patriots. But Adam Vinatieri started the dynasty. Kicking the snow up against Stu's Raiders. Sorry, Stu. Super Bowl 36 game winner up against the Rams. Then you had Super Bowl 38, the game winner, up against the Carolina Panthers. And I know that game was 10 for a while, but then it ended up being a three-point victory. It wasn't like the way that the first two were. But Vinatieri did have a kick that ended up being the difference. This, to me, any Patriot fan that has any resentment towards Vinatieri because how he ended and he went to the Colts, just stop. The franchise is where they are. And a big reason because of that was the clutch leg of Adam Vinatieri. And I love Edelman, but Vinatieri has to be in that Hall of Fame before Julian Edelman is. So Edelman making, and Edelman, obviously, congratulations, he should be in. But the fact that Vinatieri isn't in, he needs to be in. And he needed to be in before Julian Edelman just because of the timing of it. So Edelman making the Hall of Fame before Vinatieri is inexcusable. I will go onsides on that. But recent history, right? Like, if you're a Patriot fan and you don't know much about Adam Vinatieri, just stop. All right? It's not like he's ancient either. I know he's an old guy, but it's not as if this was a kicker from the 1970s, for crying out loud. We're talking about the early 2000s. So Edelman's more of a fan favorite, but I absolutely love Adam Vinatieri. He needs to be in the Patriot Hall of Fame.
The Packers are not giving up their push to ban. Well, the tush push.
Oh, my God. Enough with them.
Yeah, so when owners meet at the end of the month, a new proposal will be considered that bans any players from pushing or pulling a teammate anywhere on the field. Onsides, offsides, players should be allowed to push or pull teammates.
Yeah, quit your bitching, Green Bay. Stop whining. All right, onsides. I'm not even wasting another second of the show talking about the tush push and all this nonsense. Green Bay, stop your bitching. It's getting embarrassing. It's just flat out embarrassing right now.
The fallout from the Connor Stallion scandal is still ongoing, with Michigan reportedly suspending head coach Sherrone Moore 2 games as a self-imposed punishment. Moore reportedly deleted 52 text messages with Stallions and could face more punishment from the NCAA. Onsides, offsides, the NCAA should add at least one more game to Moore's suspension.
You know what? I would, and here's why. I don't believe that Michigan should get punished here. When they put the ball down, and everyone knew after the scandal happened, Michigan still beat everyone's ass and they still won a national championship. So I'm kind of done with this story, and I think this is an overblown story if I'm being honest. But if you're going to self-impose a punishment to the coach and you go, oh, we're going to do it after the Oklahoma game and we're going to do it week 3 and 4 when they're playing, what, Central Michigan? And then they do play Nebraska, so it's 1 Big Ten game. Like, come on. You suspend the coach, it's got to be the first 2 games of the season if you're going to give him a 2-game suspension. It can't be, oh, we're going to implement it in weeks 3 and 4. I mean, what are we doing? So just because of that, that's why I should say the NCAA should step in. Not even the act. I have no problem with what transpired. I was a big-time defender of Michigan through that entire process and still am. But that's chicken bleep. It really is. Oh, we're going to spend the coach 2 games, but it's going to be weeks 3 and 4, and we'll have him still on the sideline for the Oklahoma game in, what, week 2? That's chicken bleep. So the NCAA should add at least one more game to Moore's suspension just because of how they're suspending him. Yes. Onsides.
So Sovereignty outdueled 3-1 favorite Journalism to win the 101st Kentucky Derby on Saturday.
And by the way, I love Bendozo in the YouTube chat, but he said they beat everyone because they cheated, Zach. That scandal came out. Then Harbaugh was not there for Penn State, not there for Ohio State. They beat both those two schools, and then they went up against Alabama, put Nick Saban into retirement, and then beat Washington. So do a little homework there, Bendoza. They were not cheating then. And once again, this will age in favor like how Deflategate age. In 10 years from now, everyone will be like, what a bunch of chicken bleep that was. All right? This is the chicken bleep version of onside, offside. Continue.
So Sovereignty outdueled a 3-1 favorite Journalism to win the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, pulling away at the end to take the first leg of the Triple Crown. Before American Pharoah completed the Triple Crown in 2015, we hadn't seen one since affirmed in 1978, but got a second winner in Justified just 3 years later in 2018. Onside's Offsides, the luster of the Triple Crown has worn off.
So, obviously, it was too long of a wait from Affirm to then American Pharoah in 2015. And then I did think that Justify winning 3 years later was then too quick. But now we haven't had one since 2018. And let's be real, there's only juice in horse racing when you have a Triple Crown potential winner. So, I don't think the luster of the Triple Crown has worn off because now we've had to wait a little bit since 2018. So, I'm going to go offside here on this one. And also, I did win money on Sovereignty at 9-1. So maybe if I lost, I would have then say, yeah, who gives a crap about horse racing? But that's not the case. Hey, by the way, this was a big bit that it was originally a Paul Nanos segment. And then D.A. and Marash, you know, did what good radio hosts do. They recycle things. But the horse, Stu, do you think the horse knows that the horse is in a race?
I would say not a chance the horse knows.
I think the horse knows he's in a race just because I think they see the other horses racing and then they take over and they say, boom, I want to get, you know, outrace the horse and get to the finish line. I do think the horse knows he's in the race. I don't think the horse understands the magnitude of the race, though. Like, for example, assuming Sovereignty races in the Preakness and the Belmont and let's say it wins the Triple Crown. I don't think that horse knows that it's a Triple Crown winner. Now, when the horse then starts to get a little extra nookie time because of that, because then they try to just, you know, do what they do in the horsing world to then breed more horses. Well, it's a family-friendly show. We don't need to get into the graphics and the details. We'll spare everyone that. Then I think the horse goes, I enjoy life a little bit more. Maybe I'm damn good at this racing thing. But I don't think the horse understands the magnitude of the race. I just think he knows he's in a race. And I'm more convinced of that than ever because Sovereignty looked like it was just no chance of winning. And then saw those other horses in front of him, and he was like, off to the races. Let's go win Zach Gelb some money. All right. So the luster of the Triple Crown is worn off. I'm going offside on that.
Offside.
Anyway, next one.
All right, last one here. Aaron Judge is on a historic pace this year, hitting an insane 423 with 11 home runs and 33 RBIs and sits just one home run shy of the early Triple Crown lead. Now, over the weekend, Judge went 5-for-13 with a long ball, actually lowering his league-leading batting average. Onside, offside, do you believe that Judge can become the first 400 hitter since Ted Williams in 1941?
I'm going to say offside because you'll have like an off month. Even if you're still mashing, I don't think that it's attainable to get to 400. And you know what? I'm amazed by what Aaron Judge can do on a baseball field in the regular season. I'm not comparing him to Barry Bonds, but as a kid, I grew up loving watching Barry Bonds. And every time Judge is up, it's not like Bonds, but in terms similar where you want to watch Aaron Judge bat, just like how you always wanted to watch Barry Bonds bat, just because of how towering the home runs are. And Aaron Judge looks like a video game character. I don't want to say the season is pointless for Judge, but the regular season, even though there's not high expectations for the Yankees this year because they don't have Cole, they have a bunch of other injuries. Soto's now in New York. And the AL is just so vanilla as it is, where I don't think anyone believes whoever gets through the AL is going to find a way to beat the Dodgers. The Dodgers there in the World Series or the Mets or whoever it may be. But since Judge just got to a World Series last year and then dropped the ball in that game that they ended up losing, and we know he's been a great regular season player, it's almost, yeah, this is awesome, but are you going to be able to win a championship because you're a Yankee? It's not like you're a Minnesota Twin. It's not like you're a Cleveland Guardian. If you like, he's an all-time great. He will be an all-time great player. But there's a difference in being an all-time great player than an all-time great Yankee. And what he's doing is unbelievable, but it's tough to be an all-time great Yankee with a franchise that also has championships, 27 of them, if you can't find a way to win that championship. So that's a big part of it. So I believe that Judge can become the first 400 hitter since Ted Williams in 1941. I just think it's such a ridiculous thing to do. So I'm going to go offside on that one.
Offside.
All righty. We will take a timeout here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, ChatGPT acknowledges the Hickey Hex. And also, the Hickey Hex is alive and well. We'll get to more of Ryan Hot Take Hickey next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Alrighty, back from Vegas. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Got to Vegas on Thursday, then Friday, went to Tao. Then I actually went to a nightclub, saw Metro Boomin, and we had a bottle service at the table. And your boy was, as John Gruden would say, was feeling nicey, feeling like stew on a regular day. And then the next day I went to Piero's. And I had just a delicious meal there. Samter and I have been there before. And on Sunday, it was a lot of people left, right? Right? A bachelor party, 18 people. There was 8 people left, and we had like this Sunday crew. And we weren't leaving until later that night, and we all took a red-eye home. Most people flew back to Philadelphia. One person flew to Denver, and then I flew back to New York. So we wanted to kind of just use Sunday as a recovery day, right? You know, gamble a little bit, get a nice lunch, and watch some sports too, and go to the sports book. So we had this reservation at this restaurant, this French restaurant called Bordeaux, which is, I think it's in the Aria in Vegas, and it's right across from Carbone in Las Vegas. So we go to Bordeaux, and it is a beautiful restaurant. I had deviled eggs, with caviar. That was one of the appetizers we got. We also had a pastry basket. We got a huge baguette as well. And then for my main course, I ended up getting this burger, which was to die for. A really good burger. But anyway, I'll take you to the scene of being in this restaurant. Because this is the story, and I need you guys to issue a ruling here. Because I think my friends, we created something, and this is what people should use if they're ever in a restaurant and the table next to them being noisy, or someone's getting in a public fight in front of you at a restaurant. So two tables over, Stu, there is a grandfather who's turning 80, and he's in like this gold jumpsuit with the number 80 on the back, looking like a G. There's probably 25 people at his party, family members. In the middle of their meal, right in front of us. And remember, the eight people remaining on this bachelor party, we're on a bachelor party. So we're hungover, right? We're probably still drinking a little bit during that day, probably by meaning we were. And you have a headache and you're just trying to enjoy yourself and you don't need any confrontation, right? So that table that was two tables over from us, it had like 20, 25 people celebrating someone's 80th birthday party. I don't know if they were still together or if they were divorced and this was the first time seeing them, but a man and a lady got up and right in front of our table, they're yelling. And she's giving him the riot act. Now, I didn't overhear exactly what they were saying because I was the spot at our table of eight, the farthest away from them. But they were so loud that everyone knew something was up. My one friend said he heard her say, "Well, you've cheated on me," allegedly, like four times. And then supposedly the guy said back, "I don't even like your father and I'm still here." So that was all going on. And one of our friends, who is just like a silent killer when it comes to humor, you wouldn't expect him to be that funny, but when he says something and he doesn't say much, boom, joke's hilarious, joke is funny. He goes, "Imagine if we asked them, interrupted them and asked for a group photo. Because they are yelling in front of us, yelling, and had no end in sight." So we're all like dying of laughter because we go, "That's a great idea." Now, my friend Jordan, who's the bachelor on his bachelor party, he could be a prankster. He could stir the pot. And he looked to the left, looked to the right. He goes, "Excuse me, can you take a photo of us?" Now, I think we helped this guy out, Stu, because it got him out of the fight.
Yeah.
They both looked at us like, "What are you asking right now?" Because they know we know what's going on. And they ended up taking a photo. It was a great photo. And she walked back to the table. And he walked back on the farthest end of the table, and that was that. But I think that should be a new thing in public. If you're enjoying yourself at a restaurant, and you have two rude other patrons at the same restaurant that are sitting in front of your table, standing in front of your table and yelling, just ask for a group photo. And it will diffuse the entire situation. But I could not believe that. When, A, that it was said, but then when my friend heard it, within probably 6 seconds, 8 seconds or less, we were taking a group photo.
I love it. I think it's great. I did not know where that was going. I could not imagine what would have been the diffuser. You could have given me 100 guesses. I wouldn't have guessed that, but I like it.
And then, so we were a little rowdy on the bachelor party, and I think the guy also that was taking the photo was maybe a little frazzled from what was going on, getting called out like that in public. And the guy was trying to take a good photo, and he said to one of my friends, "You know, you're kind of cut off in the photo. You may want to lean in more." And he was like, "Oh, just take," my friend said, "just take the photo." And they started jawing back and forth a little bit. But I guess that guy felt bad. He came back over. He's like, "Oh, was the photo good? Was everything?" Like 45 minutes later. But that was the whole big situation there. And I think it's Samter. I couldn't believe that we asked this guy to take a photo, but it is brilliant if you look back on this.
I mean, listen, you should be a licensed therapist of some sort, maybe.
Oh, it's not me. Or I was just sitting there. Yeah. I wouldn't have the cojones to ask that person for a photo.
Listen,
it was like Jerry Springer. It was like Maury. They were like going at it, yelling right in front of us. And I'm sitting there saying, "Oh, I'm just too hungover for this. Can they just shut the bleep up?" That's what I was thinking to myself.
Listen, if you can send your friends over anytime the wife and I get into an argument, that'd be great. I'd love it. Let's do it.
Could you imagine? Samter calls me up. Zach, Susan and I are going through it right now. Can you send your friend Jordan over to ask to take a photo? Just bring the guys over from the bachelor party. You could stand on our lawn. We'll take a photo of you to get me out of this sticky situation. All righty. By the way, I was not really monitoring Twitter the last few days, more so Instagram. I did scroll on Twitter for a second, and some guy was just like going after me, and I just sent him a view of the balcony that we were on with the beautiful view of Las Vegas, and I was like, hey, Zach Yelp's busy right now. I don't have time to respond to a clown like you. But I did see a text from Samter, and this was about social media, and I guess this was on Thursday or maybe Wednesday night. So Samter's texting me on vacation. I think something serious. And Samter, to his credit, goes, don't want to annoy you on vacation. And whenever I see something like that, I go, oh, what's the problem? But he goes, you'll find it hilarious. So Psych Mamter, I guess, who's a loyal listener to this show and is very active on YouTube and Twitter, he was using ChatGPT. And he searched, what is the Hickey Hex from the Zach Gelb show? ChatGPT recognizes the Hickey Hex. I'm reading this right now. The Hickey Hex is a running joke on the Zach Gelb show, referring to the humorous curse that seems to follow when co-hosts, oh, come on, ChatGPT, clean it up a little bit. When co-host Ryan Hot Take Hickey makes bold predictions about sports teams or players, often shortly after Hickey confidently backs a team or athlete, they experience unexpected setbacks or losses. This pattern has led to the lighthearted notion that Hickey's endorsements are jinxes. First off, ChatGPT, this is not lighthearted. I'm being dead serious with this stuff. For instance, Zach Gelb once tweeted about the Hickey Hex in relation to quarterback Sam Darnold, suggesting that Darnold's performance declined after Hickey's support. Similarly, when Hickey predicted a decisive victory for Penn State over Notre Dame, the outcome didn't align. It continues. The Hickey Hex has become a beloved segment among listeners, with Zach Gelb often teasing about his predictions after their unintended consequences, all in good fun, adding a playful dynamic to the show, sports commentary. And then it also did give this, oh, this is my favorite one. So it once again says, the Hickey Hex is a humorous concept from the Zach Gelb, referring to the idea that when producer, now they call him a producer, Ryan Hot Take Hickey expressed strong support for a sports team or player, that entity is doomed to underperform or fail. The tongue-in-cheek superstition has become a running joke among the show's hosts and guests. The term gained popularity. These are the origins of the Hickey Hex. During the 2023 NFL season, when Hickey confidently predicted that Denver, the Broncos, would reach the Super Bowl and quarterback Russell Wilson would be named Super Bowl MVP. However, the Broncos' season quickly unraveled, leading to the widespread belief that Hickey's endorsements were jinxing teams. How about Samter? How extensive the Hickey Hex is recognized on ChatGPT. That's wild to me.
You know, I've asked around to a variety of people, and you know, there's been the curse of the Babe. There's been the Billy Goat curse for the Cubs. No. I think the Hickey Hex has become the most famous, well-known, infamous hex out there.
And I'm not going to tell people how to bet, and you need to gamble responsibly, to be clear. But if you see Hickey just be so confident in a certain team, you need to fade them and bet responsibly. But if you fade Hickey, you'll be a winner. So with that being said, I got a lot of tweets that I ended up catching up on Sunday, and I wasn't planning on doing this, but people ask, right? And we got to deliver. I think this is just my charity act to start off the week. This is me just being nice to our listening audience. Hickey was on yesterday. We'll give him a plug. We'll give him a pop. He's now doing Sundays from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And I guess leading up to the Warriors-Rockets game, Hickey was not only picking the Rockets, but he was dangerously confident that the Houston Rockets were going to find a way to beat the Golden State Warriors in Game 7. We have another installment of the Hickey Hex.
It's the Hickey Hex.
It's Steph, it's Jimmy Butler, and then who else? Like, if we're talking about Draymond Green or Buddy Hield being your third option in a Game 7 on the road, that scares the hell out of me. I think the Warriors are toast. I think they are done.
Buddy Hield knocks down another triple. Buddy Hield is on fire here in Houston. Buddy Hield, it's all white light for him right now. He's got a 19-point half. My goodness. Buddy Hield, he is just not missing.
For Steph Curry, right, this is a guy whose numbers right now are telling you, whether it's the thumb, whether it's being age 37 and his legs getting tired, he's running out of steam, he's running out of gas. And I don't think all of a sudden now you can just rev that engine up and turn back the clock here in Game 7 in Houston.
Curry on the logo. Comes left. Crossover dribble. Crossover again. Step back. Takes a three under. Durant. It's good. It's good. Curry nails it. And it's 91-74. The Warriors have their largest lead of the game right now.
This team doesn't have it. I don't think they can flip the switch. I think a younger, faster, bigger, but also more inexperienced Rockets team takes down the Warriors, wins Game 7 at home, and thus makes history by becoming just the 14th team in NBA postseason history to overcome a 3-1 deficit and win the series.
Steve Kerr is moving on once again from the play-in to the playoffs and into the second round. Go the Golden State Warriors, a hard-fought 7 games. But the Warriors, with all that championship pedigree, go on the road and beat the Rockets. The Warriors are moving on.
I think the Warriors are toast. I think they are done. I think the Warriors are toast. I think they are done. I think the Warriors are toast. I think they are done. I think the Warriors are toast. I think they are done.
Hot take Hickey strikes again.
It's actually impressive how confident he could be and how he's always wrong. May 2nd, he tweeted out, "The Warriors are cooked." If you didn't hear it during the Hickey Hex, "even though they are slower and smaller, I thought their experience would get them over the hump against the inexperienced Rockets. Forget that. They're gas." And you know who he uses his source? Richard Jefferson, saying multiple times he doesn't see any energy for Golden State Warriors, says it's all good night. This series is over. And this is what I don't get. Hickey's one of those guys that it's either all or nothing. Like, for example, he will say a team has a 0% chance to win a game. That's impossible. You tell me there's a 0% chance to win a game. It is inconceivable that the other team could find a way to win. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors with Steph freaking Curry. And he basically said Steph Curry was shot. Steph Curry had 14 points in the fourth quarter. And also, he directly mentions Buddy Hield. "Oh, if he's got to be your third option, you're screwed." Buddy Hield goes on to score 33 points and ties a Game 7 record. A Game 7 record for 9 three-pointers made. It's not only Hickey is wrong, where, okay, one team's going to win, one team's going to lose, and he always picks the wrong team to win. And whoever he picks to win, they always end up losing. It's how confident he is, and then the scenarios that he lays it out, and Steph goes off in the fourth. Buddy Hield goes off in the game. It's mind-blowing here, Stu. It really is. It's getting embarrassing for Hickey, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think I need to put in my Ashton Genty Offensive Rookie of the Year bet very soon after Hickey's dislike for that pick.
I also heard Hickey was saying when St. Louis was up 3-1 up against the Winnipeg Jets, there's a 0% chance the Jets come back as well. Samter, I know that you have been amused by the Hickey Hex, and you were not aware of the Hickey Hex powers, but you've now seen working with me for the last 2 years. Jeez Louise, this is a real thing.
The funny thing for me, and I said this to Hickey today as he was here this morning as opposed to this afternoon in his new role, which was fantastic. Great, yeah. for Ryan Hickey. As soon as I walked in, I see Hickey, and I'm like, oh man, Hickey. It's not that he gets predictions wrong, per se, because we all do.
Yeah, of course.
It's how adamant he is about these things. He swings big. It's not like, hey, I think the Rockets are going to win Game 7. It's the Warriors have no chance. Steph Curry has no energy left, and Buddy Hield is a loser. And all of the things that he says is like the exact opposite. He even said, I expect the NCAA to go for blood and hand out heavier suspensions for Sherrone Moore and the Wolverines. Now I know Sherrone Moore's not getting anything else from NCAA. Everything he says, he goes big or goes home, and he's wrong so often that when he goes big, he misses really, really big.
Who's the worst big game performer? James Harden or Ryan Hot Take Hickey?
Not even close.
And James Harden is putrid, but I think I know your answer, Sam. I think you're saying Hickey. James Harden can't hit water if he fell out of a boat in a big spot. And still, I think James Harden's a bigger big game performer than Hickey. That's how bad Hickey is with these predictions.
If Ryan Hickey fell out of the boat, the water would just disappear.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll talk about Greg Popovich on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Obviously, it's no surprise that Greg Popovich will no longer be coaching the San Antonio Spurs after some unfortunate health issues this year, and he has been coaching for much of this season after suffering a stroke, and you had Mitch Johnson as the interim coach. Now Pop is going to move over and become the team president. He will not be coaching again. R.C. Buford is still going to be the CEO, and Brian Wright will still be the general manager. Pop, or now he's going by El Jefe from this press conference today, will be the team president. And we wish, obviously, Greg Popovich nothing but the best in recovery. It's time for him to no longer be the coach. I will say, though, I don't know how much I love Mitch Johnson, though, being the next head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. Now, to be fair, I saw him once coach in person up against the Cavs. They lost by a point at the end of the game where they were down for most of the game. I didn't really think he had this incredible presence, but that's a tough spot to walk into with how much that Pop is loved in San Antonio, and you're a longtime assistant of Pop, and now you're taking over for him, and you don't know about the future where everyone knew that Pop wasn't coming back, but then it's, okay, when is that going to become public? That job, though, in San Antonio, and I say this about when Coach K retired, when Roy Williams retired, when Jay Wright walked away, don't just appoint your guy just to appoint your guy. I think you should go through a full process. And I look at the San Antonio Spurs situation. It ended up now being that this guy, Mitch Johnson's getting the job. That's a heck of a team. If Wemby's back healthy, you have Wemby, you have De'Aaron Fox, and you got Castle, who's a stud. And maybe you could trade Castle, or maybe they trade, I don't know. Like, you got KD available this offseason, potentially. I don't think you need to do that if you're San Antonio, but it's going to be considered. You also potentially have Giannis Antetokounmpo available. I thought there would have been a name that would have taken over San Antonio that would have elicited more of a reaction out of me. Like, oh, hey, that's a good hire. With Mitch Johnson, like, oh, hey, it could work, but, you know, I'm not jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store over this hire. And when I was in San Antonio for the Final Four, I had multiple people come up to me. And multiple people were pushing this idea, and I thought it was going to happen that Becky Hammon was going to replace Pop. That multiple people kept on coming up to me saying, watch Becky Hammon get the job. Watch Becky Hammon get the job. That's what I said on the show. I got on the show and I said, that's my prediction. Becky Hammon will be the next coach of the Spurs. Because unsolicited in San Antonio, people walking up to me saying, hey, Becky Hammon's going to replace Pop. Pop's not going to coach again. So when you have a job with a team that's that young and that good, I'm not saying Mitch can't be successful, to be clear. But I thought it would have been either a more compelling hire, like something that's ever been done before, like Becky Hammon, or it would have been a bigger name taking over. So this is still R.C. Buford and Pop running the show. I don't know how effective Pop's going to be, if we're just being honest, but Mitch Johnson's the first guy up, and we'll see if he will go the way of Kyle Neptune and Hubert Davis, right? In college, or will he be more like John Shire, which, let's be real, John Shire, it was going also right until the Final Four. They blew the final, what, 45 seconds up against Houston. Let's hear from Pop, though, because he did speak today, and this is the first time we heard him speak publicly since suffering a stroke. Here is Greg Popovich on his retirement.
I can never express the gratitude that I have for so many people caring about organization and sending me thoughts, prayers, that sort of thing, since I had this stroke. Things are getting better by the day, but it's not good enough for what we plan ahead, and so it's time to make this change. We all have a part in this. It's not just the players and the coaches. Everybody has been dedicated to do their part to make a successful, thriving organization, and we will continue to do our best to do this with class. That's one of the reasons why Mitch Johnson will be taking over, because we have total faith in him to continue what's been started a long time ago.
So there you go. That's Greg Popovich. Obviously, not that he's ever really loud, but you could tell clearly still going through a lot of recovery, as one would expect after suffering a stroke. And we read the TMZ article as well, where he may have suffered another stroke too, a minor one. So clearly wish him nothing but the best, and his health should be first and foremost. And I thought it was time anyway for Pop to step aside. The last few years, I kind of said, all right, it's time for a new voice as a head coach. But with how much he's beloved there in San Antonio, you knew he wasn't going to walk away until he said, okay, I'm walking away. And now he's going to be in this new role of team president, and he will no longer be coaching the team. Here is Pop on his new role as team president of the San Antonio Spurs.
We've got some young players who are going to end up being really great players. And Mitch Johnson will be the guy that forges their futures. And I'll do everything I can to help him and help them. But I'll have a new job. And I want to make sure everybody understands what the new job is. I'm no longer a coach. I'm El Jefe.
And he had the shirt that said El Jefe, where he did take off the jacket he was wearing. But five championships as the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. One of the most impressive coaches we've ever seen, not only in basketball, but in the history of sports. If you think about what he was able to do there, and sure, he had the Admiral. Sure, he had Tim Duncan. Those were two all-time great players. But he also won championships with Tony Parker, with Manu Ginobili. Obviously, you know what Kawhi Leonard's done. But it wasn't as if they had one of these teams where it was like three guys that were absolute rock stars year in and year out. Now, we all know that it worked together, and chemistry plays a big role. And Manu, right, and Tony Parker are loved. And Kawhi kind of, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but who was thinking he won the finals MVP when he did so? It was so cool what they were able to do. And now it's time for a new era with one of the more exciting players in the league in Wemby. And we wish him nothing but the best, just like how we wish Pop nothing but the best. And you also got De'Aaron Fox, and you got Castle there. And we'll see if they add anyone this offseason. So it's time for Pop to step aside, and he'll be going from coach to team president. And most importantly, we hope that he gets back to being the Greg Popovich that we all know and love for so many years, because, you know, the health is obviously the biggest thing, because if you don't got your health, then you got nothing.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.